All right, guys, welcome to the Broads Who Binge. I'm Molly.
And I'm Marissa.
And we're just two broads who spend a lot of time binge watching TV and then talking to all seven of you about it.
Yeah, and you would think that we'd do it more since the quarantine started. Turns out this is just a regular day in the life for us.
Yeah, it's just a normal day. I actually was telling my parents that me staying with them has decreased my television consumption time, and it's starting to, like, affect me. They didn't love that.
Yeah, I think I need to host an intervention for you because it's starting to negatively impact me in the following ways.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, didn't really plan the joke out this long, but I guess I would say, for one thing, you still haven't watched the Saved by the Bell reboot.
I know. And actually, ironically, I don't have the capabilities to do that at my own home. So I need to do it here. And my mom reminded me about it because she's a podcast fan. She's one of the seven.
Well, Megan's a true OG, so we appreciate that, Megan. Please stay on Molly to watch it during this Christmas season.
Okay, I will. I promise. It'll be my homework.
Good.
So what's been going on this past week? Week before Christmas slash, this is going to be so ignorant. Is Hanukkah already over? Are the 8 days over?
Yeah, they're long past. And also, Hanukkah, I feel the need to, like, make this disclaimer because I find that a lot of non-Jews don't know this. Hanukkah is pretty meaningless in terms of, like, as religious holidays go, like, it really doesn't mean much. It's, like, more of a historical holiday that just got blown out of proportion to compete with Christmas.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's, like, definitely, I would say it's maybe the 12th most important holiday in the annual Jewish calendar.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I would have never known that. But again, I am ignorant about Judaism.
No,
so
honestly,
pardon
like
my ignorance.
No, many people don't realize that. It's not a big deal. So anyway, it's over.
But you guys do, like, Christmas stuff too, right? Like,
Yeah. My family's always done both.
Okay,
so
that's what I thought.
Yeah, we're chilling. We're primed for Christmas. And in true week before Christmas fashion, I come to you all from a place of a pretty bad tummy ache because all I've been doing is eating Christmas cookies all day long.
Ooh, yeah, my mom bought all these caramels and I've been eating those.
Yeah, I baked some. My dear
friend
Nick dropped some off.
Oh, I
like
saw that on maybe Snapchat or Instagram. Oh, so
yeah.
Sweet, Nick, if you're listening, you're a gem.
Shout
Where are my
to
cookies?
Him. Yeah, shout out to Nick. Pretty sure he doesn't listen, but if you're listening, send some to Molly.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
And also, I have a thing for, you know, like the shitty truffles that people buy you around Christmas time that come from like the grocery or Costco.
Are you talking about the Ferrero Rocher or the Lindt ones?
They're actually, these ones are Costco brand, but
oh.
I'm talking about that, like, gist, that general idea.
Okay, because I am obsessed with the Ferrero
yes!
Rochers. Ob-fucking-cessed. My dad bought me 3 packages because he knows how much I love them.
That's my whole point. My, like, wealth manager sent me a package of the Costco brand truffles that are only available during Christmas time, and I'm obsessed with them. I can't stop eating them either.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. Like, I don't think chocolate needs to be bougie. Like, you could honestly get me a king-size Reese's, and I'm happy.
Also, these feel bougie to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
No,
I know
they feel very
decadent
because it's not something that you eat on the reg. So it does feel luxurious, even though it's probably inexpensive.
Yeah, it feels luxe to me. So I am eating my body weight in sweets this week. And I also, I have a podcast. I don't know if it's a recommendation, but I guess, like, I have a podcast that I'm currently listening to.
Okay. Let's hit us with it.
Okay, well, like, it's quickly becoming apparent on this podcast just what a fan of Saved by the Bell I am.
Yes.
Your
Christmas
okay.
present may or may not be Saved by the Bell themed, which I saw only shipped today, so it's definitely not making it in time for Christmas. You might get it mid-January.
Wow. Well, that's okay. I look forward to it because I have Christmas truffles and cookies to tide me over.
Perfect.
But anyway, so this podcast is called Zach to the Future. And it is, I'm not even sure if it's good or if it's just good because I know. It'd be like, okay, this is what the premise is, but let me explain it to you in terms you will, like, appreciate.
Okay.
It would be like if you listen to a podcast where Matthew Perry watched every episode of Friends and then talked about them from his perspective, like what was actually going on behind the scenes, what he remembered from that episode, etc. Like, that's essentially what it is. Mark Paul Gosselaar watches the show, which he, like, has never watched, apparently. And he doesn't seem to remember much. And he gives, like, intel of, like, what was going on behind the show. And, like, he also evaluates, like, my opinion is he goes way too much into, like, acting theory. And I'm like, yeah, I don't need to know about your, like, blocking.
Yeah, you're like, I don't care what stage left and right is. And that is the opposite. Like, I can barely tell normal left from right. So,
yeah, this isn't, like, what's that show where he used to interview stars? Whatever. This, I'm not that into it. But I am interested in his, like, behind the scenes information. Like, he talks about how he and all the guys would, like, purposely hit each other really hard because they were young boys. And, like, it's just, it is pretty interesting.
Okay.
If you're into Saved by the Bell, this will be interesting.
Okay. I don't think I'm at super fan status enough to devote my time to listen to that podcast, but I appreciate that you love it and maybe one of our listeners would. So
that's reasonable. Also, before we move on, because I do want to hear about your week, speaking of our listeners, I just want to give a couple people a shout out, and I know you have a couple shout outs, because actually there's been more activity on our Instagram recently, and it's frankly, I'm realizing, like, more people are listening than I even realized. So just want to give a quick shout out to SarahLiz202. Thanks for listening, thanks for commenting and engaging. And you're spot on about Jude Law. We respect that.
Yes.
And also to Fafa HACB, mother to Flynn and Fiona. We love your engagement. Thank you so much. And I know you have one too.
Yes. I have to give Maya a shout out, who saved, she caught up on all the podcasts except for the Emily in Paris one because she's currently watching, and she sent me a full text page of notes about her thoughts. One included a girl that went to high school with who actually OD'd on caffeine pills, which I did not know. And anyways, we appreciate you as a listener.
Yeah, she, and like, she did a full-on book report on our podcast.
Yeah, she, like, literally did. I mean, I've never felt more famous than I did receiving this text message.
She had, like, a bibliography, sources were cited.
Yeah, like, she was saying stuff that I don't even remember saying. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, I wish I could forget, frankly.
Yeah, so honestly, you're the real MVP. We love you.
Yes, thank you all. Really appreciate it. So,
yeah, and everyone.
Molly, yeah, Molly, what's been going on with you?
Well, I'm back in my parents' home, so that's exciting. And my really only update, which unfortunately I ended up updating you on accident before I could get a real-time reaction, but I do feel like people are engaged in my non-dating life drama.
Yeah, and I'll fake it. Like, yeah, don't worry. Okay. Believe me, over the years, I've gotten very good at faking it.
Yeah, so we'll just, and maybe we'll come to different conclusions the second time we discuss it. We just don't, we don't know. So anyway, you guys have been following my saga with Ghost since, I guess, the summer. This is going on for a while now. And he keeps texting me and I keep ignoring it, but then I also like attention, so sometimes I respond. I don't need to hear that that's toxic. I acknowledge that it's toxic. And he, as we've discussed, that he's like a fuckboy in disguise. Like, I get the you up messages at like 1 p.m., which feels aggressive. Like a hey there at 1 p.m., like, I already know what that means, but you know, I'm just like, I don't have the time to respond to you. So I respond like 7 hours later, even though I have no intention of actually like seeing this man.
Even though you're not even in the same
state. Yeah, I'm not
state.
Even in the same state. I just play dumb because I'm like, well, I don't know that hey there means what hey there means. You know, I could be dumb. And so I did end up responding at 6 p.m. Central. I hit him back with a hey. You know, keeping it pretty chill. And I didn't get a response until 9 a.m. Central the next day saying, oh, haha, fell asleep on my couch. And for like the two men that listen to this podcast, I just want to let you know that girls are not that stupid. You did not sleep for, what is that, 12, is that like 17 hours? 17 hours?
Yeah.
Like you didn't sleep for 17 hours. You obviously hooked up with another girl and she left at 9 a.m. And so then you texted me, which is fine. But like, I want in my hypothetical, like attention seeking behaviors, I would like the guys to think that I'm intelligent. You know, it felt like a slap in the face. Like, look, sir, I've dated narcissists before. If you're going to play this game, I need you to level up. I need you to hit me with something better. What are your thoughts on this? Well, do we believe that he fell asleep on the couch for 17 hours on a Saturday during a pandemic?
Unless he has COVID, probably not. but it's not the first time I've wished ill fate on him. So, you know, I think that you said he's a fuckboy in disguise. I think the disguise is off. I think that he sort of wrote the book on being a fuckboy. You know, it's hard because it's like you want to believe that there's good dudes out there, but then they all just act like such fuckboys. So I don't know. I feel like I get it. Like the attention and the game is kind of fun, but man is the ghost of fuckboy. Like he just does every man wrong because he makes every guy look bad.
I agree. And but I'm hoping this is a cautionary tale to girls who maybe have not been in such like crazy situations as you and I, so they like would actually think that he fell asleep and believe that.
Yeah, I mean he wasn't sleeping.
So this is more like a to my younger sister slash self, you know.
So what's sort of the fable, like what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is I just said LOL, I think, or something. Like I didn't, like I was like, haha, no problem. Like,
do you remember that unbothered time we were in New Orleans for your birthday and I was like texting with a fuckboy and I had already like moved on, I was not into it, and remember he sent like tons and tons of random emojis and like invisible ink and stuff.
Oh
and
my you god, finally the invisible ink man.
Yes, and you were like, you should just send him really random emojis, I bet he'll respond. And I started sending him like a fairy plus an apple or just like random stuff. And he totally ran with it. He would respond with weird ones.
I forgot about that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to bring that next. I'm just going to respond with like an apple and a like a COVID vaccine or something.
And invisible ink. Like it's like a scratch away apple.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If you guys have not texted with invisible ink, it honestly is pretty incredible. It's so funny.
It's especially funny because like, I kid you not, like I really hope my mom isn't listening to this, but that guy sent me his STD results with invisible ink.
Spoiler. It's just so good. You can't make it up. You like, just can't make it up. I hope you responded fairy emoji.
Yeah, apple.
Pencil spoiler. Fairy emoji.
Spoiler alert. He was STD free, so that's all good. But I will say this. Like, it's one thing to send invisible ink to someone and be like, happy birthday. And it's like a fun scratch map. But like, scratching over syphilis is like
at least
not that
fun. It wasn't like... Surprise, you have chlamydia.
Can you imagine?
Oh, honestly, no, but I not that I hope that I get chlamydia, but like I kind of hope that someone tells me they have chlamydia with invisible ink.
Via invisible ink.
Yeah, so if any of you guys out there have chlamydia and want to send me a text, via invisible ink to reveal it.
So that
it.
She can screenshot it and put it on. Yeah.
Please.
I will say, it's quite the reveal. Like, I recommend that if next time you have bad news to share with someone, do it with invisible ink.
Yeah, it lightens the mood.
It really breaks the ice, yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. Well, that was a tangent, so let's get started.
Let's do it.
As a reminder, this is not a spoiler-free area, so please leave if you don't like spoilers. But this week,
kind of hard to spoil.
Yeah, the premise is sort of right in the name. But we haven't done reality shows in a while, so we're back on the reality train. We are doing the TLC classic 90 Day Fiancé.
Obsessed. So good. If you're not watching, you're missing out.
Don't sleep on this. Yeah,
do not sleep. Just don't sleep.
Don't sleep for 17 hours on this. Okay, so here's sort of the premise. One American falls in love, air quotes, sometimes, yeah, with someone who is not a U.S. citizen. And they then track the journey. TLC films their journey in trying to get the person their K-1 visa, which is the fiance visa, to come to the United States. And there's, like, a lot of barriers to overcome, like culture and language. Plus, for those of you who don't know K-1 visa law, like Molly and I do now.
Yeah, we're basically experts / attorneys. If anyone needs help, we know all the intricacies.
I'm an immigration lawyer now, but only if you're coming on a fiance visa.
Yeah, exactly.
But FYI, once you get to the U.S. with your K-1 visa, you have 90 days to marry the United States citizen. Otherwise, you get deported, essentially.
Yeah, so it's kind of intense.
It's very intense. And I have some questions directly about that later. But first, okay, we're now on season 8. But I was like, wait, I thought it was season 20. And the reason is because TLC has really made a cash cow out of this. And there are like 27.
The spinoffs are insane.
Oh my God. I just saw a commercial for one last night that's like.
There's a new one. It's like 90 Day Journey or something.
Camera. Yeah. It's like their diary. They know how to like produce content very cheaply that we love to watch. There are truly a million spinoffs.
Well,
so,
and that's why I feel like every time you and I have tried to discuss this show, I have Hulu and I don't actually have cable, so I always watch the obscure spinoffs.
Yeah.
And so you'll be telling me about the actual season and I'll be like, I thought I was caught up, and it'll be like, oh no, I was caught up on 90 Day Fiancé before The Ring, before The Altar, like random obscure spinoff, and I'll have no idea because I'll have thought that it was real.
Yeah, exactly. There is a before the 90 days, so it tracks them sort of first dating. And I kid you not, this is going to, I mean, you know this, but for our listeners, this is going to sound made up. But there is a spinoff where old couples that have already been on it sit in their bed watching the new season of the before the 90 days, and we watch them watching the new couples. It's called Pillow Talk.
I'm just, like, wondering how I get involved in this franchise without getting a fiancé abroad.
Well, based on some of the people who've been on multiple seasons, it doesn't seem that hard to get a fiancé abroad.
That's true, but, like, I where are the men in my DMs? Like, looking for a green card. I don't have any.
You're gonna have to open yourself up to more people, more guys from, like, Central Africa.
But I'm public, so everyone's welcome. That's in my
true.
DMs. I don't
That's
get
That's a good point.
I don't have the aesthetic going on that people apparently like are looking for in a green card marriage. So it's kind of sad.
If you're listening and you're trying to break through as a rap artist, but you live in, you know, Uganda, hit Molly up.
Yeah.
Okay, so as I mentioned, we're on season 8, and I have to be honest, this is sort of a new show for me. This is a quarantine endeavor that I launched myself into with fervor. So I watched the first season, like, back when quarantine first started, and I was like, well, I guess now I have to consume every bit of this ever made. And since it was back in the start of quarantine, I thought that we'd only have a little bit of time to be locked at home. So I like watched a lot, and I was also still at a job that I hated and bored. So I watched all day long, all night, like, cause I was like, oh shit, I only have 2 weeks to like be locked in my house. I better catch up on all of these.
Yeah, now, exactly. It felt urgent. We didn't realize it was going to be like 3 years of our lives and we're going to be like 35, but by like before the time this is over.
So, I didn't realize exciting. How much I would be looking forward to Before the Ring, Before the Fiance, Before the 90 Days spinoffs, because I now have nothing new to watch in this franchise. I've consumed it all. Okay, anything to add before we like dive deeper?
No, I think you did a great high level overview. You've sold me on watching the show.
Wow.
Already.
Wow, we did it. Okay, do you want to talk about season 8 at all? I mean, we can start there.
Yeah, we can talk about season 8. Great. So it just, I guess it's now premiered 3 weeks ago because there were 3 new episodes.
Yeah.
So that logic checks out. And I have watched all 3 episodes with both of my parents, ooh, which has been very entertaining because they are both now heavily
invested. Yeah. I will say that about the show. It's hard to not get invested.
Yeah, it is. It sucks you in. It is a microcosm of humanity that you didn't know existed is like the best way to describe it, in my opinion.
It's sort of like your catfish groups
on Facebook. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, it's just, it sucks you in, and all of a sudden you just, you need to know more. So season 8, we do have four new couples, maybe? And then we have 3 old couples. Mm-hmm. And so there's always usually a mix of like couples that have been on either spinoffs or prior seasons, and then they'll put fresh meat into the mix.
Fresh meat.
So you get like some of the drama that you know and love, and then also some new content. And I have to say that I think, at least so far, 2 of the new couples I'm loving.
Okay, which ones?
So, because it's so dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. So Brendan and Julia. So Brendan is, I mean, he could be 14. Yes. Yep. We're not sure, but he, I mean, apparently he's 27, but he's actually 14.
Well, he acts 14.
He acts 14. He looks 14.
His
he
lives with his parents that way. Yeah.
Who are dog breeders. And then he's a pest control person on the side. Mm-hmm. And he's never had a girlfriend except for Julia, who is she Ukrainian or Russian?
I
think Ukrainian.
I actually think she's the Russian, because then there's 2 Ukrainians.
You could be right. Okay. Yes. Yeah. She's Russian. Okay. So Julia, we're not sure what she does in Russia except for be hot.
She's a go-go dancer.
Oh yes. Yeah, she's a go-go dancer, basically a stripper. And anyway, their dynamic is incredible because Brendan is completely controlled by his parents. They're making them stay in separate bedrooms when she comes, even though they're engaged. She's not on birth control. And the conversations between him and his mom about her being on birth control, potentially, my dad's commentary, like watching this all, honestly like made my life.
Yeah, what do they think? Yeah, what do your parents think about their, especially about their relationship with their son?
Well, I mean, my dad has like called this guy, I want to say he called him a fucking dork or a fucking nerd.
That sounds like your
but
dad. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's talking about them getting on, like, her getting on birth control or them using condoms. And Brendan's like, I don't know. It just feels like a lot of responsibility. And the mom's like, what do you mean? Like, using a condom sounds like a lot of responsibility. And my dad just, like, screamed, wrap your sausage at the TV in response to this.
What does that even mean?
Like, I guess use a condom, Brendan. Like, just just use a condom.
Wrap it. I thought you said
yeah.
I thought you said drop your sausage. Oh. I was like, what? Carrie's getting crazy. That
too. Yeah, he's getting crazy. This quarantine's really, it's got him crazy.
Okay, yeah, he should wrap it. 100%. Yeah.
I mean, it was just, I've never heard people say that
a condom using is birth too control much,
sounds like too much responsibility.
Yeah.
So they're pretty dysfunctional. Rebecca and Ziad, who are OGs. Wait, sorry,
can I just say one thing about Brendan?
Yes, of course.
I feel like he sucks and he needs to grow a pair, but at the same time, okay, like even the thing about not sharing the same room, I think it's silly. That said, like he's 27, he could move out of his parents' house and then they could share a room. Like, so I think that definitely his parents overstepped, but even I could like get past the room thing. But it's the other conversations that feel like such an wildly inappropriate overstep by his mom. Like, if I ever dated someone and the first or second time I met their mom, she asked me what type of birth control I was on and like told me that she would schedule an appointment with her doctor, I would lose it. Like, that is to me so inappropriate.
Well, let me tell you, Marissa, oh, I have dated someone whose mother was a gynecologist. And so I have had this discussion. And in those discussions, when I was 16, 17, I'm exposing myself here, I was told that condoms didn't work.
Well, they
and abstinence was the only way.
Well, she's not wrong about that, technically.
I mean, technically, yeah, but
well,
I did have to like talk about my birth control with
I think that that's so uncomfortable. Boyfriend's
mom, so that is kind of weird, but
very uncomfortable. But okay, I want to know your thoughts on Ziad and his girl.
I mean, it just, I can't. So Rebecca is 49. She used to be a bounty hunter, which is hilarious to me.
It's cool.
In like a random southern town.
Yeah. Right?
It's like middle of, we're not sure what state. Could be Georgia. Could be Alabama. Could be, I'm not sure. But somewhere in the deep south, she was a female bounty hunter. And now she's the general manager of like a fried chicken
like
restaurant.
Like a Sparrow, yeah.
Yeah, because she needs to because she needs to prove that she has like real income. And she is engaged to a guy who is what, 27, like our age, so they're like 22 years apart.
Yeah.
And her, like, her son is 2 years apart.
Yeah.
She's a 25-year-old son and a 27-year-old fiance. I find their dynamic to be, I mean, the amount of merch that they have with each other's faces on it, like the blanket that they have that's like a couple's blanket, like the she has a credit card with his face on it that says my love, like they have mugs. He wore a shirt with like a extremely photoshopped picture of her face on it. I wonder, have I just never known love? Because I don't think I will ever own a piece of merchandise that has a man's face on it.
Yeah, I mean,
sound off. Do you agree? Will you ever have a blanket with you and your fiance or husband?
Well, it's a good,
like, as your comforter.
It's a good thing that we're not on video right now, because I better take off my branded merch shirt with my boyfriend on it right now. No, I think it's crazy, and I also think, like, I think it's just so wild how much they have. And I think the craziest part is that she photoshopped that for like the first year of their relationship. She used like Snapchat filters to make herself seem much younger.
Yeah, that is crazy to me. But I have the opposite Instagram aesthetic. Like, I hope to be hotter in person than I am online, which I think has probably like not helped me with the random men trying to get green cards in my DMs. So maybe I need to rethink that approach.
I think we're going to have to filter you up to start getting you some more guys who want you for the green card. They really like the like filtered fake look. So we might have to.
So we might need to.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, but I do want to talk about Yara and Jovi.
Yes. Yes. Because I feel like for once, they have a male protagonist. Like, yeah. Jovi is good looking. He's successful. Like, okay, yeah, he's like kind of like a party boy type, but he's very family oriented. Like, he's very sweet, and Yara is such a bitch.
You know, Jovi seems like he could have definitely at some point in his life been a fuckboy. Like, he definitely seems to have fuckboy tendencies, but he actually does seem pretty sweet and accommodating. And she is awful. I mean, she is so mean to him and, like, just about everything. And she's so, you know, fake and beautiful that I think that she really gets away with it. But I agree with you. I think that he is the nice one in the relationship for once.
Yeah, he's so nice, and he actually makes good money, and he's actually cute. It's like, in 90 Day Fiancé, that is very rare, by the way, people. Like, for them to actually have wealth and to be attractive and to be nice, like, that's a triple threat.
It really is, yeah.
Game. And, like, she doesn't even want to stay the night at his mom's house, and then, like, tells him his mom's cooking is bad.
That is, like, I mean... Honestly, like,
it's so sad.
Number one faux pas is telling a guy that you're dating that his mom's cooking is bad. I mean, like, there's just, like, no coming back from that.
Also, it's just uncalled for, like, unless the mom literally poisoned you.
And even then, really.
Like, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, the rope is yourself. Short.
You know what? Like, the great thing about America is that you can fucking order Uber Eats. So, you know what? Pretend to eat the weird stew that your mother-in-law makes, and then Uber Eats yourself 20 chicken McNuggets and eat them in the car, eat them on the street. Like,
yeah.
You know what? This is why capitalism
is why you came here. This is why you wanted
it. This is why you came here, because you can eat 20 chicken nuggets in the street
at 2 a.m.
if you want to. So you don't have to talk shit about your future husband's mother's cooking.
Yeah, I agree. That was totally out of line. She sucks. She definitely sucks. And what do you think about the one who came from the Philippines and is bisexual?
Oh, Tarek and Hazel.
Yes. He's pretty sweet too, actually.
He's really sweet. And my mom's comment was, I mean, so he's a single dad, and he has primary custody of a daughter who's autistic. So, like, for him to be the primary caregiver as a guy, like, yeah, and he really does seem to love her, like, he's very patient and he is a good father. So I empathize with him a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
And she's weird. Like, I don't know. That kind of leads me to one of my questions that I was going to ask you, because she has a kid.
Yeah.
That she leaves in the Philippines.
Yep.
And I am curious if you think you could leave your kid in order, like, to move halfway across the world, all the way across the world to, I mean, potentially, like, they're sending money to the kid. That's not really clear. They do say eventually they want to bring the kid to America, but they don't really say that they're, like, compensating the child or the baby daddy. How do you feel about that? I know we're both not mothers, so this is, like, completely hypothetical.
Well, I think the part that makes it harder to answer is not even the mother thing, but the thing about that we're both American citizens, and while I wasn't raised, like, wealthy, certainly, I definitely had privilege and definitely was comfortable, and I feel like it seems to me like for especially immigrants from certain countries, America gets so romanticized. So I wonder, like, because my immediate answer is hell no, I could never leave my kid. But then you hear about, like, families or people who move here and work and send money back because they really feel like they can have a better life here and make it better for their kid. Now, if I am to judge her, I don't really feel like that's her vibe. Like, I don't get the sense that she's, like, here to work really hard and, like, get him over here and give him a better life. But I guess for that reason, I guess I could maybe understand it. What do you think?
I agree. I think that she maybe doesn't have pure intentions, but I understand why people do it. I just don't think she's one of those people that's actually over here to better her son's life.
Yeah.
But I think that there are people that are doing it to send money back and to hopefully bring their kid over, and they're like really making a sacrifice being away from their child. But for her, I don't know. But she's just, I just don't like her. I don't know what you think about her.
I also think they did people who are bisexual sort of an disservice, because she is bisexual, but like even people who are bisexual have monogamous relationships. Like, and they're making it seem like she expects to be married but also have a girlfriend on the side, which is a thing too, but that's like a different type of relationship. That's like
polyamory, yeah, slash being bisexual. That's like combining two things, which feels very progressive for TLC.
Yeah, but
to cover appropriately.
Exactly right. That's the thing. It's like you can be bisexual but monogamous, and you can be polyamorous and you know, like I just feel like they didn't do it correctly. Like they made it seem like this very taboo, like free love thing.
I agree. They're not one of my favorite couples.
No. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Okay, Molly, I feel like season 8 is great. I'm excited to be in this journey with you and hopefully with all of you out there. But let's zoom out for a sec.
Okay.
If you feel like it.
Yes, I feel like zooming out, baby. Let's talk.
Because I just want to do fuck, marry, kill, but I feel like we should broaden it to the entire 90-day universe.
Ooh, okay.
So before we do that, I just want to give you a little reminder of some of the best and worst couples, and I'm going to begin with the worst.
Okay, I'm curious to see who you have on this.
Okay. Darcy with anyone. She's been on it like 3 times with three different guys. Her with anyone is bad.
Toxic City.
Yeah, she's bad. Molly and Luis, did you ever watch their season? She has like a bra empire.
No, I don't think I have watched their season.
It's great. It's maybe season 3. It's definitely available on Hulu or Netflix. Can't remember which one. She is actually really adorable. She finds a guy in the Dominican Republic who is 100% sleazy and using her. And they actually ended up getting married before the 90 days was up. And they even surprised the camera crews with it. Like, they didn't know. And he ran out on her. Yeah. Oh, and one thing we didn't say is that not only do these people have 90 days, but it's a very expensive process to get this going. It's usually the American who has to front the costs. And also, when you do this, you are on the hook for this person for 10 years.
Yeah. So even if you get divorced, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. If you bring someone here, I mean, I do want to talk about this in a sec, but like, if you bring someone here, you're responsible for them financially for a decade. Okay. Also worst, Jorge and Anfisa. Do you know them?
Jorge sounds familiar, but Anfisa doesn't.
He was a marijuana, like, tech guy, and she was Russian, very gold diggery, but he sucks. They had a very physical, terrible relationship. And she got arrested, and he did too. He actually is serving 2 years in jail because of something to do with his marijuana business.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, Larissa and Colty.
Yes, Colty.
I want everyone to know I'm not making fun of Brazilian accents, but the way hers is like not just Brazilian. It's like something, it's like a weird dialect. I love the way she says Colty.
So funny. Oh my god, their seasons, their toxic dynamic is it's incredible and very toxic, and his mom too.
So she moves with him and his mom, who lives there too, and they, I mean, she ended up getting arrested for domestic violence
like
I
3 times.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I love, do you ever watch the reunions where she just gets on and keeps calling him bitch?
I love when she brought the like new guy that she was dating on, and he's like so mad.
Yes, it's great.
Yeah, she's good TV.
She's such good TV, but she's a bad couple. Also, yeah. Nicole
and Ozan. Yeah.
Oh my god. I mean, they are just a trip, man.
Bringing your. Like, you've never traveled, and then you go to Africa for the first time, and you bring your, like, what, 3-year-old daughter, 4-year-old daughter there?
Yeah, okay, pause. So Nicole is, like, 19. She's very young. Yeah, so is, like, Azin. She ends up going to Morocco alone for the first month. So she leaves her 3-year-old daughter at home.
Yeah.
Goes to meet this guy she's never met before. They have a toxic situation while she's there. They get into physical altercations. He tells her she's way too fat and he's not attracted to her. She comes home and she's like, you know what would be a good idea? If I go back out there and bring my 3-year-old daughter to Morocco. And it's very toxic. And still, just so you know, 3 years later, they're still trying to get him over here.
I mean, it's wild. Their dynamic is bad. Horrible. I can't believe it.
And Elizabeth and Andre.
Oh, yes. They have a baby now, right?
They do, but he sucks. And he definitely,
horrible.
Her dad family is so sucks. Sweet. Really? I do not like her parents or her family. I think they kind of suck too, but I definitely think Andre treats them shitty.
I just really hated him. I found him like peak toxic masculinity.
Oh, 100%. He's awful. And then for the best. Okay, I'm obsessed with Lauren and Alexi. They met on Birthright. Do you know them?
I'm trying to... That sounds so familiar, but I can't place their faces.
They're actually really cute, and, like, because they met on Birthright 5 years before they ever went on the show, their relationship is, like, the most legit. Like, they were dating and serious about it before the show came along.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, and then David and Annie, do you know them?
No.
He's sort of heavier now. She's from Thailand. Back in their season, he had to go buy her family a goat, like, was her dowry.
Wait, that does sound familiar. Maybe I have seen this one before.
I bet you've seen it. It's a good one. And then this is going to be controversial. My ultimate best couple is Angela and Michael.
Oh, my God. Honestly, I love Angela. I think she is hilarious. Like, hilarious. I mean,
she is truly the epitome of trailer trash, and I think she'd say it herself, but she... is so funny. And Michael, and like the way she always gets so mad at him and hangs up on him, it's remarkable.
And the like, I love when he gets like, she gets really mad at him and then he has to like buy her like a sheet cake. Yeah. And he like buys her like this like shitty sheet cake and he's like, I know that, like, my baby loves this cake.
It's great. It's so great. Okay, so fuck, marry, kill.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so who I would marry is, and I can't remember his name, but he was the, like, nail technician from South Carolina who was, like, getting ghosted by, like, a Ukrainian girl. Do you remember him? I think he was on a spinoff.
There's been a couple that have gotten ghosted, honestly, or, like, catfished.
He, like, tried to go to Mexico and, like, bought this girl edible underwear. That's not why I like him, but he was just, like, the sweetest man, and it was so sad because he was positive this girl was, like, real. And, like, she ended up being real, but she, like, basically was just completely, totally using him, and it was so sad. But I would marry him because he was really sweet.
Okay, I love it.
I think I would fuck Tom of Darcy and Tom, the British guy.
You know, I hate to say this, but, like, you would.
I know, okay?
but at least you didn't pick marrying him, so no, it's fine. I'll give you credit.
I really feel good about the guy that I married. Like, he's just, like, very sweet. Yeah. I gotta remember his name. So, obviously, he didn't leave, like, that much of an impression, but my dad knows who this guy is. We'll see if Carrie approves. What's his name?
Caesar Mack.
Yes, Caesar. Yeah. He was just so sweet, and like, he literally worked with all women in this nail salon, and he would like send this woman all of his tips. Oh, it was just so cute. And who would I kill? There are a lot of people that I do not like on this show, but who's the worst? I think I might have to who's Darcy's first guy? The Scandinavian guy.
I don't remember, but I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he sucks.
He's bad. Ozon is bad. He's in the contestant for killing. And I also really hate the really young guy from the Dominican Republic that, like, is the tattoo artist and, like, bangs the girl in the closet. Do you remember that? Yeah. That might be on a spinoff, too.
I remember him, but I don't remember his name or really anything else about him.
Same. I just remember hating him.
Yeah, well, I think those are good choices.
That's what I have.
Yeah, those are great.
Okay, let's hear yours.
I would marry Alexi from Israel. He's like an Israeli EMT. So, and he's like 7 feet tall. He's very attractive.
Love that.
I would fuck. I would fuck. Do you know Soja Boy?
Yes.
Usman.
Usman. Yes. Soja Boy.
Not to be confused with Soulja Boy,
but the Nigerian Soulja Boy.
Nigerian Soulja Boy. Oh my God. Baby Girl Lisa.
Yes, Baby Girl Lisa. I love when he writes that song about her. Oh my God.
Actually, FYI, sad news for any Baby Girl Lisa fans out there. I saw today that they officially filed for divorce.
Oh no.
Yeah, but I fuck him and then I would kill Nicole of Nicole and Azin. So between us, we've killed entire Nicole couple. Is bad. In fact, I was going to wait and tell you this later in my surprising facts, but apparently there was a change.org petition to get her off the show.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because people said she was like abusive.
She's bad. I mean, she's like, I don't even think she's good television. It is like to the point where it's like toxic, because this show definitely toes the line. Like, this show does have some, like, full-on emotional and physical abuse situations going on. Oh, my God. Well, we didn't even talk about Paul and Karini.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, another surprising fact, they never made it on the regular 90 days. They're only on spinoffs because apparently, and there was, like, all this drama between Paul and the network because TLC didn't think he was good enough to be on the real 90 days.
Really?
Yeah, and he like sued them, I think.
Well, he's crazy. I actually might have killed, now that I think about it, I might kill Paul.
And his mom is crazy too.
Oh, his mom's crazy too.
Yeah, he's bad news. But here's a question for you, just like macro level. I guess it's like two part. One, do you think you could ever do a 90-day fiancé relationship? Like, could you fall in love with someone abroad and then bring them here and make that decision in 90 days? And also, from like an American citizen perspective, do you think it's a fair rule? Like, do you think the whole K-1 visa process is actually fair?
Yeah, so I guess I don't think I would go through like the 90-day process, because I'm going to be perfectly honest, I feel like I would like either move somewhere or they would like move to the US and already be here. Like, I could totally see myself ending up with someone who's not from here. Mm-hmm. But I just think that our situation wouldn't be like, I wouldn't sponsor them. No, I really don't think I would. I think I would be like, you need to like find a way to get to the US without me.
Yeah.
Or like, vice
smuggle yourself in. Yeah. I'm not going to be on the hook.
I don't
hook
know.
For
I don't want to be on the hook for 10 years for someone. I'm also not like super impulsive person. So I just can't imagine 90 days being enough for me to like know if I'm going to marry a person. So I don't know. I can see myself marrying a foreign person or moving to a foreign country, but I think I would do it outside the scope of the K-1 visa.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. That's what I think. Like, I don't think it's fair that so much pressure and commitment to put on these people just for falling in love. And like, I get that the US wants to prevent people from like faking it to get in here. But the reality is that I would say at least 50% of the couples on the show mean it. And I feel like it's a lot of pressure And it seems unfair to me. Like, what other couple has only 90 days to decide if they want to get married? Or, and then if they do get married, like, be on the line for making sure that they're a productive citizen for 10 years. Like, I just think, I feel like it really penalizes people that fall in love with people abroad.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to, like, a broader immigration conversation that we don't need to have necessarily on this podcast. But it is just wild that a lot of these people can't even get tourist visas.
Yes.
And so, they have to resort to this, or else they have no chance of ever being together. And I do think that we come from, like, obviously this, like, place of privilege because we have a passport that can pretty much, well, before COVID, could get us anywhere and we could get kind of any, even if it was a more complicated visa, it would be like, okay, it's more complicated, like maybe I have to like send it in to the embassy and it takes like 2 weeks but I get approved. It's mm-hmm. never like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to get a visa to that country. But for a lot of people, that is the reality of them, like, literally wanting to just visit the U.S. and them not being able to.
Yeah, it's, like, about America being such a narcissist. Because it's, like, sure, I guess some people abuse the system. But, like, a lot of the people on this show, some do, of course. But a lot don't actually want to have to come here. Like, they are doing it because they're in love with someone. But, like, they're not doing it to like sneak into this country. And I feel like it's just a thing of like, we assume that everyone would want to live in the US.
Totally. If, you know, the US could just adjust some of their economic and trade policies, and then people wouldn't be forced to come here in order to make a decent living. And that's my mic drop.
I loved it. I think that's beautiful.
So I have a few like celebrity gossip facts. Well, not, please. They're not fully celebrity gossip facts, but did you know that they only make $1,000 to like $1,500 an episode? And compared to other TLC shows, which can make like $25,000 an episode, that's pretty crazy.
Okay. Yes, but I did see that. That means they get between $7,000 and $14,000 for a regular run, which actually is a lot more than they get for Married at First Sight, which we've also talked about. So yeah, it's not a ton, and it's not a ton compared to TLC, but it is a lot compared to Married at First Sight.
I guess that's true, but it just seems like nothing. Like these networks make so much money. It's just wild to me that people like, would you fully expose your, like, family or relationship for $7,000? Maybe that's me coming from, like, a really bougie place, but I wouldn't. Not for $7,000.
I don't think I would do it for any amount of money, but people, I don't think they're in it just for the money. Like, people really want their 15 minutes of fame. People are really into that idea. So I feel like they're not even doing it for the money. Plus, I heard that the spinoffs, you actually make way more. So, like, when you do Pillow Talk, you make, like, $2,500 an episode. So, there are people, like, legit living off of it.
I mean, that's true. And then they become, like, influencers, and they sell FabFitFun boxes on Instagram, which FabFitFun, we're still waiting for you guys to approach us. Maybe we should bleep this out.
Yeah, we're bleeping it out until we get the
sponsorship. Yeah, not that I've ever even seen a box, and I probably have no need for one. I'm not sure why people get them, but
no,
I would like to sell them to make money. So
I'd be thrilled to sell them.
I'll sell you it. Yeah.
People are getting real sick of the Anchor commercial.
They are. That wasn't our feedback, so we're going to try to find a real sponsor.
A new sponsor, yeah. Yeah, I did know that. To me, it seems decent, actually, for doing it.
Okay. To me, I was very surprised. I was assuming they were making more money. And then my other fact is, did you know that Darcy is now engaged to a Bulgarian guy, apparently?
Of course she is.
And they're getting, her and her sister, Stacy, are getting a spinoff that potentially already premiered or is premiering this year. Premiere. Okay. I have not watched it because I don't really like Darcy, but she is kind of the most scandalous.
I haven't watched it because I can't stand them, but yes, it premiered after 90 Day Fiancé a couple months ago, and I'm really hoping it didn't do well because I can't even handle the commercials of them. Actually, did you know that my first boyfriend was Bulgarian, and I know how to say kiss me in Bulgarian, and I've remembered it for all these years, So if there's a Bulgarian out there who'd like to do a green card situation, I would consider it.
Yeah, you already know one phrase, so you're basically fluent.
And it's an important phrase. Like, totally. I walk around. Actually, it is true. Every Bulgarian I meet, I'm like, do you want to know what I can say? And then they're like, do you want me to kiss you? So it goes well.
Okay, that's good to know.
Well, would you like to know some surprising facts?
Yes, I would, always.
Okay, well, actually, in 8 seasons, well, sorry, 7, because we don't know yet the results of season 8, more are married than not.
Really?
By my count, there are still 22 married and only 6 divorces.
Wow. That's statistically very good.
It actually has better odds right now than Married at First Sight.
I mean, I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, you're choosing in this situation. Yeah. But so, yeah. Okay, also the cast, the people pay for their own flights and K-1 visas. The show does not pay for any of it. And you mentioned this before, but TLC does do pretty extensive background checks, which means that they know about how physically and verbally abusive some of these people can be, and they choose to cast them anyway, which means they're fully exploiting these people for the drama.
Oh, absolutely.
So there is that. And then there's also been multiple lawsuits because people were unhappy about how they were portrayed on the show, but they were dismissed because the contracts pretty much say, like, we can do what we want with your image.
Yeah, that's the scary thing about going on reality TV is, like, you don't realize that they can edit you to look any way that they want to. So you just have to be prepared for your, I mean,
to be
potentially
the villain.
Your life is, yeah. Oh yeah, you can be the villain. So
you could say 2 words and like a slightly bitchy offhanded comment, and then suddenly you're the villain.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen it happen in countless, and people don't realize it. And so it is one of those things where if you become a reality TV consumer expert like you and I, we do tend to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. And you start to know, like, if it cuts away from them talking, you're like, oh, they probably didn't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely, you just have to be prepared to do whatever they want you to do and look like. But I think that you sort of know, like, if you go on ABC, it's sort of one thing. But if you go on TLC, you're, like, signing up for, you're selling your soul to the devil. You're giving your firstborn to Rumpelstiltskin. Like, you're, TLC is just, like, you know they're going to do what they want with you.
Yeah, they're going to do you dirty and they're not going to care.
Yeah. That's what, if we were naming these episodes creatively still, I would name this episode, they're going to do you dirty and they're not going to care.
I'm going to get that on a t-shirt.
I'm going to get a tattoo of it.
Okay, good. That sounds fun.
Well, anything else you want to say about this before we close up shop?
I will say that even if you don't think that you're going to like this show,
you will
end up liking this show. Like, my 66-year-old father isn't now fully invested in season 8. Like, he's locked and loaded, same as my mom. Her hot take is she likes 90 Day Fiancé more than The Bachelorette, because I've also been forcing her to watch that.
Oh, why does she feel that
way? So she thinks the couples are more authentic.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And I think she's mad at Tayshia right now because she thinks that Tayshia's going to pick someone toxic.
Yeah, I think that too.
Which I think that too. So I think she's spot on.
Your mom's
right. But anyway,
right.
I hope that you guys watch this show because honestly, it's the kind of thing you need to consume during quarantine because it's just like great television.
It really is so good. I'm telling you, like, it's a great quarantine show. I know that from experience. But by the time you will have listened to this, your Christmas will have happened. So hopefully you had a great Christmas and
hopefully you were nice, not naughty.
Yeah. Oh. And we will catch you in the new year.
Catch you in 2021. Hope it's better than this year.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Exciting news! Broads Who Binge is now on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So pick your favorite platform, and if you're enjoying this, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.